Good morning and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Once again, our scripture text is taken from the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1 in verse 16 will serve as our text, and we'll be picking up on two phrases this morning. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Now the book of Ruth takes place in the days of the judges of Israel, and it follows the book of Judges in our Bibles. The book of Ruth is a messianic book, meaning that it has overtones of prophecy of Christ within. It is messianic in at least three ways. First, it is set in Bethlehem in Judah. This is the place where our Lord Jesus was born. Secondly, with regard to its genealogy, in the book of Ruth, the bloodline is connected from Perez to David. Third, in its typology, Boaz, who would become the husband of Ruth, is the kinsman redeemer. We have a greater kinsman redeemer, whose name is Jesus Christ. Also, Ruth, as a Gentile and a woman, becomes a partaker in this redemption. And this teaches us that Jesus Christ died for the salvation of men and women, Jews and Gentiles. So the story begins in Ruth chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, that's to distinguish it from Bethlehem, which was in Ephraim, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And he went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, not to be confused with Oprah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so the woman survived her two sons and her husband. So now we have three widows. We have Naomi, and we have her two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth. Let's fast forward to Ruth chapter 1, beginning in verse 14. And then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. So Naomi sets out from Moab to Bethlehem in Judah. As widows, these women are now without means. Naomi would have a better chance of finding support in her own country. And so, she sets out for Bethlehem. Ruth and Orpah, being Moabite women, are encouraged to seek support amongst their own people. Orpah chooses to return to Moab, but Ruth sets her face towards Bethlehem in Israel. How sad it is when someone has been exposed to the living God, and yet they choose to go back to the world. Jesus said this, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." How sad it is when the gods of material things and the gods of this world are more important than seeking he who was born in Bethlehem for the salvation of the soul. Rightly did Jesus say, "You cannot serve God and mammon." In the sermon proper this morning, we shall see what we may learn from our text. We'll take the words of our text in order. First, your people shall be my people. And secondly, and your God, my God. Your people shall be my people. Ruth was ready to make a clean break from her people in Moab, who walked in the way of evil. The idolatrous practices associated with the pagan worship of Chemosh were detestable to Ruth. The Moabites, in fact, were known for offering up their children as burnt sacrifices to Chemosh, their pagan god. Many of us gasp when we hear this. And yet, right here in the United States, we offer up unborn babies to the god of convenience by means of forceps. Ruth was a true believer in the one living God, and she desired to be around God's people. Too many Christians, and I wonder if they are Christians at all, prefer the company of unbelievers. They prefer having lunch with the people of the world over spending time with God's people. Think for a moment. Consider who your companions are, knowing that the scripture says that evil company corrupts good habits. You've heard the phrase, it's been popularized in the media, in an advertising campaign, "You are what you eat," right? And it talks about the five food groups. It's like, what, candy, chips, and there's a few others, right? But behold, I give you a new watchword. You become the company you keep. I do not say not to speak to unbelievers or to give up company altogether. I do not say to shun them, for then you would need to go out of the world. Surely they need the gospel. But I do urge you to say with Ruth to your fellow Christian, "Your people shall be my people." Ruth desired association not only with Naomi, but with the people of Naomi and the people of Naomi's God, whom Ruth had taken as her own God. Has not Jesus himself spoken concerning his father and his people after this manner, saying, "My father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my father's hand." Before leaving this point, I shall exhort you to think of God's people as your people and explain the sense in which this shall be so. The scripture says, "For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one." For which reason he, that is Jesus, is not ashamed to call them, that is you and I, brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. Jesus calls us his brethren, his people. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Now, if Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren, then it is to our shame if we do not do likewise. I look around this assembly, and well, first of all, I kind of wonder if the building is going to start tilting this way because everybody's sitting on one side. But aside from that, behold, there are many people. These are all my brethren, related not by blood of birth, but by the blood of Christ. So if you are God's people, then you are also my people. And I hope you'll take up that same kind of attitude, because it's certainly the kind of attitude that lends to unity in the local congregation of the Church of God. Now to the second part of our text, and your God, my God. Notice that Yahweh did not become Ruth's God automatically just because of her association with the godly family. Just because she had married into a godly family, or even had she had been born into one, does not mean that Yahweh is automatically her God in the personal sense. She had to make her own choice who her God would be. Joshua urges the people in his day to choose for yourselves whom you will serve, whether it will be the true God of Israel or the gods on the other side of the river. So too today must each of us choose. We do not have a relationship with God simply because we were dunked as babies, or even because we attend church religiously. Nor can we expect to get to heaven on our mother or our father's coattails. We must choose God for ourselves if we are to hope to attain heaven. And when we do, let us understand that the decision is for life, as Ruth clearly understood. She said to Naomi, "Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. Lord, do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." Ruth was following the true and living God, and she understood that when she made that decision, she wasn't turning back and going back to Moab. So now I shall ask, is there anyone here who wishes to make our God your God? We confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and our God. He saw our sinful condition. He came down and was crucified to provide himself the remedy for sin. And he rose again the third day to live forevermore. He is our Savior, our Lord, and our God. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We can mark it down. That's God's promise to you. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. When you set your spiritual face like a flint to follow he who 2,000 years ago set his face like a flint to the cross, when you follow him after that same manner, when you make that decision, that decision is irrevocable. Not only on your part, but on his. For the one who comes in humility to the cross of Christ, he will by no means cast away. Thank you, Lord God, for this word. We thank you for the great spiritual lessons that are in every single verse of every single one of these books which have been compiled together, which comprise your holy word, the word of truth. Lord God, that every heart might believe this word and take heed to the things that are in it, that we might hear and heed these applications that have been brought forth this morning as they apply to our case. That if there be any who are on the fence, who haven't decided whether or not they will choose Bethlehem or choose to go back to Moab, that these truths might sink into such a heart. And that standing in that valley of decision, that you might choose to receive the free gift of eternal life, which is in Christ Jesus, even today, even this morning, even as you sit here. We thank you, Lord God, for being the lover of our souls, for all you've done on our behalf, for all that you continue to do. And we thank you, God, that having begun a work in us, that we can know that you are truly faithful to complete it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now offer one another the sign of